Last evening, last night, when I was in prayer at home, I was talking to the Lord and He dropped a thought in my mind. I'd like to share it with you. I was thinking about in this past just 2 years. Last year, the Lord took Brother Leslie Busby home. He was one of our faithful ministers. This year He took Brother Brian Rich home. He had a real burden and a love for the truth and for the church. He took Sister Marilyn Eck too. She wasn't a minister, but she sure was a faithful pillar for many years. And as I was thinking about those things, here's the thought that came into my mind. Never had it before. As I think about next Friday being the beginning of the Monarch meeting, and a week from today, been there many years, many times, next Sunday there'll probably be anywhere from 700 to 1,000 people. They're on the grounds to hear the Word of God. And what came to me was, what if Brother Leslie, Brother Brian, Sister Marilyn, and of course the others that have gone on, what if they could be there next Sunday morning to talk to us, talk to the people? What would they say? Kind of startled me there for a minute. I suppose they would tell us how wonderful paradise is to be in the presence of the Lord and to know that their journey was over and that they had been successful. I suppose they may tell us that. But I also believe that they would have a message for the people. A message that goes something like this. Folks, it's time to get prepared. It's time to get ready. Because we've found out that once we get there, there's no more opportunity for any of that. It's time to get real serious. I thought, would they preach a message on faith? I don't think so. Would they preach a message on love? I don't think so. God is a God of love, but He's a God of judgment. And He's given us His Word. And when we don't follow His Word, He sends judgment. Because He insists. God has a right and He insists that people are going to do His things His way or they're going to be lost. And I was picturing Brother Brian and Brother Leslie warning us, telling the people, folks, I know this is a time that you look forward to every year to come to Monarch. It's a time of gathering together to see one another. It's a time of refreshing and we're looking for great blessings here, but folks, it is a time, this is high time, to get real serious about your soul. It's high time that you get real serious about dealing with God, because time is running out. The brother said at the beginning of Sunday school, we're 1 week closer to eternity today than we was last week. And I thought, my, what would they tell us? They might tell us, you know, enjoy one another, enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the time together. But I hope that you're here to do business for your souls. Because eternity is serious. Jesus told us in the third chapter of John, 17th verse, He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He wants all of us to be saved. God said it wasn't His will that any should be lost, but that all men should come to repentance. I hope that Monarch will be a time of reflection upon each and every individual soul. I hope it'll be a time when we're not just there to enjoy being together, but we're there to get something from God. We're there to get help for our souls. Every one of us is one breath away from eternity. Don't care who you are. One breath. 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, Brother John and I went down to Vanceburg and I preached that young woman's funeral. She was 26 years old. And got in a head-on collision with a big truck and went out into eternity to meet God. Folks, life is serious. Eternity's even more serious. And we have time and opportunity now to do business with God. I found it interesting down through the years as I watch our nation getting farther and farther away from God. I watch our people getting in trouble. I watch our people struggling. They're like my father used to say, they go around eating their acorns. They're enjoying the blessings God give them, but they never look up to see where the blessings come from. That's the way people live today. They never thank God for the blessings that they receive. We begin to take life for granted when we do those kind of things, and we get in trouble. Whether we realize it or not, we get ourselves in trouble with God. God doesn't forget anything. God sees everything and He knows it all. He knows your heart and He knows my heart. I was also thinking when I went to prayer, I was thinking of a question. And I want to ask that question this afternoon. What do you do when the newness wears off? How do you handle things when the newness is gone? You know, I've been blessed. I've worked hard, worked for General Motors for 30 years. I've been blessed to have a few new vehicles. And, you know, when you first get them, they're bright and shiny, don't have a scratch or a dent on them, and they even smell new inside. They got that new car smell feeling. And it just, it's nice to drive around something like that. But after a few years, the newness wears off. It's not new anymore. You got some scratches and dents on it. The paint may be peeling here and there, and the car maybe don't run like it used to. And the newness wears off. We live in a day and age, folks, when the newness wears off, we just throw it away. We just discard it. Today, people are buying up buildings where businesses used to be, tearing down perfectly good buildings and putting up their own structure because it looks like who they are, portrays who they are. We just discard things. How do you deal with life when the newness wears off? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, He said, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. That's what happens when the Lord saves us. It's what happens when He cleans up our life. But folks, we have a tendency as human beings, as people, as we go on with life, and as we go on in dealing with things in life, when the newness wears off, we just kind of get careless. And we don't take care of it like we ought to take care of it. We don't do it things with it like we once did with it. Oh, I can remember when my cars were new, I was very often out there washing the car and waxing the car and keeping the car clean. And after a few years, I didn't do that anymore because the newness wore off. And it's so easy today. People today in their lives, the newness wears off. Newness wears off in their relationships. Newness wears off in the things that they accumulate, and they want to discard those things. Every weekend there's garage sales all around the city. Garage sales all around the country. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just tired of it. I don't need it anymore. Or I bought it and I didn't need it to start with. The newness is wore off and I don't want it anymore. So what do? I discard it. And I get rid of it. I believe that you and I'm really considering the church today, this afternoon, need to be very, very careful what we are willing to discard and what we are willing to throw away. I'd like for us, if you want to follow along, fine. If you don't, fine. Because I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. And this is what the Bible says. The first one's found in Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter, in verse 14. God told the people, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." Now folks, I'm going to remind us this afternoon that God has a heaven to take every one of us to. I don't have a heaven for you, but God does. And he says here in his word, "Do not remove the neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, that thou shalt inherit." Folks, I'm living to go to heaven. And I want to gain that by the help and the grace of God. But I, as a human being, have to be on my guard and be watchful and very careful that I don't get careless with what God has charged me with, what God has given to me. I can't afford to get careless with it. The very things that brought you and I today, or brought the church to where it is today, to the blessings that we enjoy today, the very things that brought us here are the very things that will take us on through if we hold on to them. If we hold on to them. And if we stay with them. 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, 17th verse. I'm watching the time. I'm going to try not to be up here too long. Deuteronomy 27 and 17. "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen." He put a curse on it, didn't he? "Cursed on he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people say, Amen." Another scripture is found in Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Most of you know these scriptures. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Now, I'm an older man now. I've been around for a little bit. I've seen our older ministers come and go. As I mentioned this morning, my aunt and uncle, they were in this, preaching this word 60 years ago. And I remember hearing them as a young boy. I remember the things that the old timers handed down to us. Folks, there was a reason for it. There's a biblical principle behind everything that they taught. The Word of God has principles that teach us that this is the way of holiness. This is the way of life. Jesus told us, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Folks, in order for you and I to enjoy the abundant life, we must stay with the old landmarks. Those things that have been set down for us. Those things that have been laid out for us. The old time ministers used to teach, you don't do this, you don't wear that, you don't go here, you don't go there, you don't drink this, you don't drink that, you don't smoke cigarettes, you don't do these kind of things. There's something about the right that God has given you and I. It's a right and a privilege that we can live a holy life right here, but there are some principles in the Word of God, things that we have to lay down, and when we pick them up again, folks, they're going to do damage to the church. They're going to do damage to our ability to be able to preach the Word. If you and I are out there doing what the world is doing, folks, we are compromising the very message that we want to get out to the people. I can't tell you don't do this and don't do that and I'm out there doing it myself. It compromises the message. Many a preacher stands in a pulpit crying out to the people, telling them this and telling them that, and in their own lives they're doing awful things. Even running around with strange women and all those kind of things, standing in a pulpit, endeavoring to handle the eternal Word of God. Don't remove the ancient landmarks, folks, because they're very, very important to us. As I see the world adjusting today, as I see how far away the people are getting, and I mentioned this in Monarch a few years back in a message, and I said, you remember Frank Sinatra? Anybody here young enough or old enough, young enough to remember Frank Sinatra? Frank Sinatra sang a song, I Did It My Way. Elvis Presley came along and he sang the same old song, I Did It My Way. Folks, their way was not the right way. It was the seem right way. It was the wrong way. God has a way. He has a path for you and I to walk. And folks, we must stay in that path. We've got to walk in that path because God has ordained it. He has designed it. And if the church is going to be successful today, you and I cannot afford to compromise the message. Things have been creeping in among us. And I'm going to mention a few things. Don't normally do that much anymore. But folks, there's a few things that are creeping in. And they're compromising the message. Not only that, but they're sending out signals to our young people and our young marrieds, to those that are coming on behind us. What generation do they call them? The millennium generation? They're sending out message to them that it's okay to do that. Now, this is going to get a little strong. But nevertheless, it's the truth. It's what got me where I am today, and many of you where you are today. But folks, back in my day, the ministers were very strong in their teaching. And my pastor used to say, strong preaching makes strong saints. And there back in the day, they told us, the Bible teaches us, there's a precept in the Word of God that tells us we don't bring trees into our house and decorate them up just because it's Christmas time and because the world does it. But folks, it's crept in among us today. It's crept in our young people's homes. And I love our young people and I want them to be successful, and that's why I'm crying out against it. Don't remove those ancient landmarks. They were put there for a purpose, put there for a guideline that we might be strong in the faith, that we might not compromise. It's easy to compromise with the world. It's easy to do what the world does, but it's not so easy when it comes to standing by the Word of God, is it? It's not so easy then when it comes standing by the Word of God. Videos, movies have crept right into our homes. But yet there's still some that go out to the theaters and justify themselves and come and make testimony that they're saved and living for the Lord. I leave that between them and God. I leave that between them. I'm not their judge. I'm certainly not here to condemn the world, and I'm not here that I can save anybody. But Jesus came that the world would be saved. And that's what my burden is and my interest is, that people will be saved. But you cannot be saved doing the things of the world, holding on to the world, and trying to hold on to Christ. It does not work. We have redefined what dress is today. This cleavage and half-dress thing, folks, God is not going to accept that. And besides that, that is an outward appearance. Dress starts right in here. Dress starts right in the heart, folks. If you don't have it in the heart to do what is right, if you don't have it in your heart to stand by the ancient landmarks and the old paths, you can go ahead and dress any way you want to. You can go ahead and go anywhere you want. You can watch anything you want to. I remember a few years back, I was out in California preaching. After one of the services, a sister came up to me and said, "Brother Abbott, can I ask you a question?" I said, "You can ask me anything you want." Said, "Well, I heard that you had a Western collection of videos of Westerns in your house and that you watched them." I said, "You come to my house. Before I ever get there, you go to my house and you check it out. If you find them, I'll repent. I don't have such a thing in my house. I don't have it." It's a compromise, see? But the devil wants to start something. He wants to get it in people's minds. "Well, because if they got it in their mind, Brother Abbott's got that kind of thing going on in his house, and he sits around and watches his cowboy videos, then his messages don't really mean a whole lot to me." See what I'm saying? They really don't mean a whole lot to me because he's compromised his message by doing it himself. Saints, the Bible says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And there's one thing that I know I have this afternoon is the fear of God on my heart. And I fear to do anything that I know that He would disapprove of. I fear to do anything that I know that He has convicted me and that I have sound conviction that it's wrong. Those things that the old people taught us, now there was a point in time where I saw some critical spirits kind of creep in and there was criticism of things, but folks, they laid down the principles of the gospel and the doctrine of what it meant to live a holy life. And that's what we preach, isn't it? That's what we teach. The concept of the Church of God is holiness. Holiness unto the Lord, separation from the world. You can only chalk it up to the devil. He's the one that always trying to bring things in, things creeping in. One thing that I do want to mention, I don't even know if they have them anymore. Do they still have youth roundups now? Youth roundups. Well, I'm not so sure. One of the first ones was at our house when we lived out in the country. back in 92 maybe, 93. But I'll tell you what, folks, they've gotten out of hand. It's a social time. I remember hearing about one of the youth roundups where a couple of young men got up on the stage with a microphone and was going to try to break the ice and get everyone a little loose and was telling little jokes. Folks, this isn't funny. This isn't funny. We don't do those kind of things. The world does those things. We don't need to be loosened up by jokes. Young people, I know you don't see things the way us older people do because you haven't lived your life yet. But let me tell you how important it is to not remove the landmarks, the things you've been taught. I've talked to people recently, and I've been one of them. Folks, I know how I was raised. I know how I was taught. When I sat there in service, and if I started giggling or laughing, my dad turned and looked at me and pointed, and that's all I needed. That's all I needed. To know if I go one more step farther, I'll be out the front door getting me a good lashing. Nowadays, we don't have much of a fear of that anymore. We don't have much of a fear of that anymore. There's things that have creeping in and have crept in that's done serious damage to the message. Serious damage to the message. And that is one of my burdens and concerns about Monarch next week. How serious are the people going to take the message? I've been asking the Lord, I've been praying, Lord, you deal with your ministers. You give them something positive. You give them something powerful. You give them something life-strengthening. You give them something that will stir hearts and deal with souls and help people to realize, folks, we're not playing around here. We're dealing with God for our souls. For the sake of our souls. This thing's serious to me anyway. And he said, remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. Now let me tell you about Ezra. In the book of Ezra, in the third chapter, it tells about rebuilding or the foundation of the temple. And it's talking about the temple that Solomon built. You all know the temple that he built that had been torn down. And God gave Ezra a mission, if you will, a burden to rebuild the temple. And when they got the foundation of the temple built, you can read it, third chapter of Ezra. It says that the young people, the young men, it said, they saw the foundation and they began shouting and shouting and shouting how wonderful it was to see the foundation of the temple rebuilt. But it said the ancient men. It said the old men that had seen the former temple, they were crying. And as the noise went forth, you couldn't tell the shouting from the crying. Folks, I'll be out of here one of these days. But I'm going to tell you, I saw the former temple in its glory. Solomon's temple was overlaid with gold. It had the best of furnishings, the best of wood. It was a glorious place. And God said, when Solomon dedicated it, he said, I'll come down and I'll meet you there. Folks, I remember the church in its glory days. And it can be that way again, but we're going to have to separate ourselves from this old world. We're going to have to do it. As I said, this is some meat here. This isn't milk. I understand that. But folks, it's got to be said. It's got to be said. The Lord told many of the prophets, you go out and you warn my people. You know, this isn't just for this little group here. I understand that. But folks, we need to be serious about this. There's damage being done. People going around looking and saying, well, you ain't no better than they are. You go around and you treat me just like I'm a piece of dirt because maybe you've heard something about it. Folks, that's going on today right among us. Right among us. We better be very careful how we treat one another, how we handle one another. There's a general trend to the world today. Think about what God told Ezekiel, and I won't turn over to that either. Ezekiel 36 and 27, he said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's the only way we can do it. You can't do it because that's what the preacher said. You can't do that because that's what mom and dad said. He said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to keep my walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. We need God's Spirit today, don't we? We need His Spirit desperately today. Let's look at another one right here. Proverbs 23. We're right here in 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. You ever talked to a child that grew up without a father? Have you ever watched the conduct of a child that grew up in a home without a father? Folks, I want to tell you, those poor children don't have the chance I had. God meant for a husband and a wife to raise their children. He meant for the family to be a family unit, didn't he? God designed it, and the devil hates it, and he's fought it ever since it. God designed it. But nevertheless, it works when we do it the way God designed it for us to do it. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Folks, I want to tell you, when we get so far away from God and when we get so far away from the landmarks that have been laid down for us, we're going to find ourselves without a father. We're going to find ourselves without someone to care for us, someone to help us, someone to minister to us in our times of need. Don't enter into that land, folks. Hold on to the landmarks. You might get out there on your own and say, well, you know, I don't think this is necessary. I don't think that's necessary. Oh, it's necessary. Lord, help us to see that it's necessary. Help us to understand that it's necessary. Folks, I'm responsible for my actions out there. You're responsible for your own. There's a sign in one of our chapels somewhere. I forget now just which one it is. I've been in so many of them. Right above the door as you go out, it says, you are now entering into your missionary field. You're now entering into your mission field. There's tragedies happening every day. You know that? People are dying lost to forever be sent by God to a devil's hell. Forever. Jesus himself said a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You don't have to believe that. But folks, Jesus said it. I prefer to believe what Jesus said. And I believe it's real. I thought about what I said at the beginning. You know that we have an account that Jesus gave us in the Word of God where the rich man died over there in Luke, and he was in torments, and he wanted Lazarus, or he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back to his sons. Tell him, no, don't come to this awful place. Well, what would those dear ones that have been faithful to die in the hands of the Lord, what would they come back and tell us? You know what I think Monarch would be this year if they were able to come back and talk to us? I think Monarch would be turned upside down. I think people would be praying and begging God to have mercy. And I'm talking about those of us that claim salvation. I think there'd be a lot of prayers. I've been there and I've seen that happen myself. I've been there when after a message, people were praying till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Because God had come down in His Word and He had blessed that message and He was dealing with people's hearts, and I'm talking about people saved and unsaved. They have a curfew there at Monarch. I think you gotta have been bed by 11 something and lights off by midnight. Folks, there wasn't no lights off at midnight that night. I was there. I remember it well. It's time to do business with the Lord, folks. Get real serious about where we're going to be when we die. Where we're going to be. We're going to give an account of the deeds in this life. I know we are. Jeremiah 16. Just a few verses of scripture to support what I'm saying with the Word of God. Jeremiah the 6th chapter. You know them. 16th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And then ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Folks, the truth of it is, the sadness of it is, we live in a rebellious generation. People rebelling against the Word of God, rebelling against God. As I said there that year at Monarch when I was talking about, I did it my way. You can do it your way. The Lord will let you do it your way. But at the end of your way, Paul says we're all going to give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're evil. And we have a nation today that's shaking their fist right in the face of God. Shaking their fist by the way they're living, by their actions. We have all these different people in society that have all these wicked spirits claiming to be this and claiming to be that. And it's an abomination to God, the Bible says. It's an abomination. Yet they're going to our courts and they're pressing for their rights to be heard, their rights to have cakes made, and all those kind of things. They're pressing for it. And God's looking down, folks, and He sees it all. He hates those kind of ways. He hates those kind of ways. He told you and I, ask, stand ye in the way, and see and ask. Are we asking for the old paths? Folks, has the newness wore off? Not new to me anymore. Well, I've known this all my life. Folks, you better go to the well and get a refreshing. And you better make it new again. This should always be new. He'll make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we should keep that new and renewed all the time. But He told us to ask, and they said, we will not walk therein. I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. There's retribution from God when we won't listen to what God tells us to do. Ask for the old paths. I'm not tired of them. They're still very, very precious and dear to me. They're important to me. You can go do whatever you want to do, but don't expect me to go do it with you. I'm not changing. By the grace of God, I'm not changing. I'm going to stay with the old path. I don't want to see any of those landmarks removed because they've been put in place for the good of my soul. People that have preached this gospel for years with a burden and a concern for the souls of men. And I'm going to just throw that away and just reject it? No, I'm not. Lord, help us. Psalms, Book of Psalms, 25th chapter. You're going to get a short version this afternoon. If we was at Monarch, you might be here for a while. 25th chapter of Psalms, 10th verse. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. It's not in man to walk up to direct His steps. But all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Oh, folks, even the psalmist says in the much quoted psalm, of the 23rd psalm, He leadeth me. Where? In the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. That's what we ought to be asking for today, saints, is the old paths. The paths of righteousness. The path that Jesus trod. I want to read one more here. Found in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, verse 13. He said, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. My prayer for us, for the church, is the Lord would make straight paths for our feet, folks, that we would be faithful. As I was telling someone there at lunchtime, people know what they need to do. They just need to do it. They know they need to do. They just need to do it. May the Lord help us, folks. Don't remove the landmarks. Don't crave the world. Don't be looking for pleasures that just satisfy the flesh. We choose our path. We choose where we want to go. And the way that we want to talk. Many rejecting God today. God will deal with them. Didn't He say, because I called and you refused, I will laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear cometh? Didn't He say that? Oh no, not the God we know. This God is a God of love. No, He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath too. His word plainly tells us just where He stands with all this. Lord, help us today to ask for the old landmarks. I'm going to read one more. I believe one more scripture if I could. Isaiah, the 4th chapter. First verse. And in that day, this is the day of the Lord that He's talking about. And in that day, 7 women will take hold of 1 man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by Thy name. Why? To take away our reproach. Is that going to work? No man's going to fool God, folks. Just let us be called by Your name. Apostle Paul said the church of God was the pillar and the ground of truth, and Jesus gave His life for it and shed His blood and purchased it. But let us eat of our own devices. Wear our own apparel, but I want to be called by Thy name. Ain't going to work, folks. It's not going to work. We're going to have to measure up to what God's Word teaches if we won't make heaven. Heaven's heaven because God is there. And I want to be there with Him someday. He's made it possible, and I don't want to miss the chance. I don't want to miss the chance to be there. The devil's still busy trying to destroy the building today. He's always laying snares for those that are in the battle. May the Lord help you and I to be on our guard. Be careful, be watchful, be spiritual. The revelation of spiritual things come from God. Doesn't come through worldly wisdom, folks. Worldly wisdom is not the answer. There's a hidden wisdom that God has ordained for you and I. And it's revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. May the Lord help us today, folks. This thing's very serious. Let's realize that we're all coming down. Not these little ones, but a lot of us in here have already lived most of our lives. Let's realize that it's coming down to the end. May the Lord help us today. I love each and every one. I just want to see everyone make heaven. I want to see everyone be successful. I want to go there together. Pray for me.